As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, syndicating across the country on the Business Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio, WYBC.com, and 1490 AM WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business, along with the business of politics and sports. Is crony capitalism destroying America? Has the Fed fundamentally corrupted capitalism? A brilliant expose, methodically researched, standing conventional wisdom on its head. Has Reagan's morning in America become sundown in America, with the former Reagan budget director? Today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. David Stockman, elected as a Michigan congressman back in 1976, joined the Reagan White House in 1981, where he served as the first budget director. He was one of the key architects of the Reagan Revolution plan to reduce taxes, cut spending, and shrink the role of government. Joined Salomon Brothers in 1985 and later became one of the early partners of the Blackstone Group. Went on to found his own private equity firm. He's also the author of The Triumph of Politics, Why the Reagan Revolution Failed. His new book, The Great Deformation, The Corruption of Capitalism in America. Welcome, David. How are you today?
I'm very happy to be with you.
Good. It's our honor. I compare this book, by the way, to one of the best I've ever read. As a 12-year-old, my grandmother gave me a book called The Best and the Brightest by David Halberstam. I didn't really fully understand it, but I sort of picked up how the best and brightest could really screw things up and fail policy of Vietnam. And your book is kind of the best and brightest economic minds, and they've gotten us into a Vietnam-like quagmire. But before we go with that butt-kissing, I want to just start off. You kind of condemn the rise of deficit financing, supply-side economics, and you were the architect of those policies in part in the Reagan administration. You talk about the short-term trading mentality of Wall Street, yet you went to Salomon Brothers. You call LBO shops self-dealing, pump-and-dump asset strippers, yet you work for Blackstone. And so I'm just wondering, is this a little bit do as I say, not as I did?
No, I think it's a issue of what did you learn over a 40-year career, 20 in government, 20 on Wall Street. And I think what I've concluded is that policy has been drifting in a wrong direction, slowly, incrementally over time. Most importantly, in that process, the Fed violated all the traditional canons of sound money. It essentially became a serial bubble machine. It dramatically suppressed or repressed the true cost of debt, the true price of money and debt in the financial markets. It allowed the whole system to become caught up in a multi-decade bubble. Part of the time, I was right in the middle of that myself. And only after the bubble crashed, including one of the companies that I had heavily levered up, did I begin to put all the pieces together and see the long-term pattern and the end game, which I believe we're in the middle of right now, which is a failing financial system.
And the book is brilliant and so insightful. Starting in the big picture, is America facing a permanent decline in the standard of living? Our best days behind us, you say in the book, the fiscal cliff is permanent and insurmountable.
Well, it's not inherently true. The American people are as talented, as energetic, as honest as they ever were, but I believe the natural ability of a free market capital system to grow, to generate productivity, to raise the living standard and real wealth is being dramatically impaired by government agencies that are out of control. The Fed is by far the greatest offender in that regard. But the budget is also, in many ways, a doomsday machine. Both parties now are convinced that unless every week and quarter and year they're heavily engaged in propping up the economy with one kind of stimulus or another, that it's going to fail. And as a result of that, we have massive deficits. We have a country living beyond its means. We have policy that has basically eliminated the savings rate and personal responsibility. And we have a central bank that has turned our financial markets, which are the heart of a vibrant capitalist economy, into essentially casinos in which there is just huge amounts of paper shuffling, speculation, and gambling. But no real investment in the long-term asset base of the economy.
In the law of unintended consequences, did the Reagan administration end up making deficits acceptable to the point that we could have Vice President Cheney, a conservative, saying deficits don't matter?
Yes, that's exactly the point. We started down the path to balancing the budget. I mean, that's really what Reagan ran on in 1980. Big government's out of control. The Democrats and, frankly, the Ford administration, which he ran against in 76, as you remember in the primary, had made deficits a chronic, permanent condition. And the view was that a firm monetary policy would quash inflation, and that's why he did support what Volcker did, that tax reductions would free up the dynamism of the capitalist economy that had been undermined badly by the great double-digit inflation of the 70s, and that by the middle of the decade, we would get our fiscal house in order and balance the budget as well. So that was the plan. That was the goal. That's where we're heading. We ended up 180 degrees in the opposite direction, not intentionally, but as a result of the failure of policy, the failure to make adjustments, mid-course adjustments, and the political realities of the Congress and particularly the Republican Party. So the defense, as you know, became massively bigger than intended. The tax cuts only got passed after a bidding war, so the tax reduction was far beyond what the supply-side cut was intended to be initially. It had all kinds of what I called Christmas tree ornaments and special interest gimmicks and loopholes and so forth for everyone from, savings and loans to oil drillers. And then the spending cuts turned out to be too few and far between. We simply didn't make a dent size welfare state. So after 3 or 4 years, what was to be a balanced budget turned out to be a 5% of GDP deficit, which was horrendous in those times, scary to everyone. And that's when the political deadlock developed, where the economy recovered after the Volcker, after Volcker quashed inflation. Republicans then were unwilling to complete the task of fixing the fiscal accounts. The economy prospered for a while, and they concluded from that that deficits don't matter, and it became the ironic legacy of Ronald Reagan, who spent an adult career, excoriating deficit spending. So one of the reasons we're in a bad place 30 years later is that so many of the fundamental principles that conservatives once stood for were turned upside down by Republicans in power. After all, Greenspan was a hardcore Republican, and he turned the Fed into a bubble machine. Bernanke is one of the most dangerous Keynesian money printers ever to sit at the head chair of a central bank. And he was appointed by a Republican administration, Bush and the Bush White House. And they knew exactly who he was because you could read it in his writing. He said he's going to drop money from a helicopter if provoked sufficiently. So those are some of the themes that come through in my book.
Okay, we're down to about a minute and a half in this segment, so it's going to be tough for you to get through this. But you make a case that we were never close to Depression II in the financial crash of 08. What's the BlackBerry Panic of 08?
BlackBerry Panic is really the process by which Paulson and Bernanke, in response to the Lehman bankruptcy, in a matter of a few days, panicked the entire Beltway into believing that we were on the cusp of a drastic meltdown of the entire economy, a relapse to something as bad or worse than the Great Depression. And they concluded that erroneously by looking at the ticker, looking at their BlackBerries and the stock prices dropping every day for Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley or other financial institutions. I think that was a huge error, that Goldman was a gambling house that should have gone down. The market was taking its stock down because it wasn't worth anything without a government bailout. And therefore, the bailouts were made for the wrong reason. It wasn't going to spread to the rest of the economy. We can talk about the basis for that later, but I think I show in my book overwhelmingly that this meltdown was only in the canyons of Wall Street. It was a run on wholesale money, not real retail deposits on Main Street.
All right, we'll be right back on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guided Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $10,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're talking with the former Reagan director of the OMB, David Stockman, about his brilliant and contrarian new book on the corruption of capitalism in America. This segment, we're going to look at the Stockman brand of revisionist history. And I want to just finish up from the first segment, though. You make a case that the bailout of AIG was never really needed, and that the insurance policies held by the common man weren't really at risk.
Yes, AIG was basically a glorified mutual fund. At the holding company level, all of this bad paper, the so-called credit default swaps, which they couldn't fund, were written at the holding company. But all the insurance that was paraded in front of Congress as being jeopardized and in danger was actually issued by dozens and dozens of subsidiaries, which were state-regulated insurance companies, subject to capital standards and subject to limitations on the ability of the holding company to withdraw cash or capital. And so therefore, had they done the right thing and put AIG into bankruptcy, the holding company CDS would have been a total wipeout because there was no availability of liquidity to the holding company. The big banks that had bought what was essentially wagering insurance, that's what CDS is, credit default swaps, from the holding company would have been holding an empty bag. In other words, they bought bogus insurance because they didn't do their due diligence. It was their fault. AIG had a large, massive global balance sheet on a consolidated basis. But on an operational basis, the capital down in all these insurance subsidiaries was not available to the holding company. Therefore, the holding company did not have the liquidity, even though it had, you know, private illiquid equity claims. Did not have the liquidity to post the margin requirements or to pay off the CDS as various, securitized debt instruments owned by the banks declined in value or defaulted. Now, therefore, when they told the Congress that millions of people throughout America were going to lose their life insurance, or that people that had property and casualty policies from one or another of the AIG subsidiaries were going to be left holding the bag, or the, you know, Caterpillar's plant in Peoria would no longer have fire insurance, that was just totally erroneous. It was a falsehood, frankly, and it was the way in which they justified pumping $180 billion into AIG. In truth, 20 major banks, most of them in Europe, frankly, including Deutsche Bank, Barclays, SocGen in France, had purchased most of the CDS that was at issue from the holding company. Those banks, along with Bank America, Citibank, Goldman, and some others here had combined balance sheets of about $20 trillion. And the amount of loss likely on the CDS that had been written by the AIG holding company, I think I demonstrate pretty persuasively, would have been $60, $80 billion at most. So what we're talking about is less than a 1% or a 0.5% loss to these giant financial institutions that had essentially bought bogus insurance because they were trying to do something tricky. They were trying to book very large yields on the underlying securitized mortgages, the subprime mortgages, while not having to post any equity, because if you had CDS from AIG under the banking rules at the time, this was considered AAA insurance, and therefore you didn't have to post any equity. Now, what does that mean? It means you could make an infinite return by owning what were essentially junk mortgages. That was how corrupt the whole scheme was. And the level of incompetence in the Treasury, these young Goldman-eyed kids running around Paulson, I think was astounding. And yet, when you told the world, and this is the key point that I wish to underscore, when you told the world that AIG, which for financially literate people was like the gold standard of finance. AIG was the powerhouse. It was the great empire that had been built by Hank Greenberg. It had a AAA rating and, was respected all around the world. When suddenly they tell you, off the third floor of the Treasury building in Washington that it's going down, that it needs $180 billion, astounding number, that the whole thing was allegedly going to take the world economy down with it. That's what created the panic, and the whole thing was a myth. The whole thing was a fraud. That started it, as you recall, the second day after the Lehman failure. And then the panic only intensified and accelerated from there. And pretty soon the Fed was pumping money like there was no tomorrow. TARP was passed on the second vote because Congress was buffaloed and panicked into basically acquiescence to whatever Bernanke and Paulson wanted. So I put AIG at the heart of this, and the myth of AIG is a pretty sad chapter in U.S. Financial policy.
Well, that is revisionist history there. Fascinating. Let me ask you this in the remaining couple of minutes. Which was worse, TARP, $700 billion, Obama's $800 billion stimulus, or the Fed's ZERP plus QE quantitative easing? And why have there been no inflationary consequences from 35 years of deficits?
Okay, the first thing is they were three peas in a really bad pot. Okay, I don't know which is worse. They were all bad. They were all unnecessary. They all broke the rules and started us down a path where we're essentially a bailout economy, where the state now is basically going to be tapped to prop everything up and keep and reflate bubbles somehow on the belief that all of this can be kept going. Now, why haven't we had inflation? Because all of the central banks, we've had inflation. Let me say this. We've got massive inflation, only under the new regime of competitive central bank money printing, the inflation shows up as the inflation of financial assets, stock markets, junk bonds, real estate, every kind of derivative imagined and yet to be invented. That's where the inflation is occurring, and we can talk about that more later. On the other hand, goods and services have not experienced inflation because as long as you have excess labor in the world that can be drained out of the rice paddies and brought into factories in East China or elsewhere in Asia, labor costs are going to be held down in a global economy, and the price of goods, consumer goods, will remain low. So the real evil of the financial repression and zero interest rates is that it channels the inflation, the economic distortions, into financial bubbles, into the drastic and massive inflation of financial assets, which then reach a point where they can't be sustained and they crash.
This is Business Talk with Jim Campbell on the Business Talk Radio Network. The BTRN has 300 stations around the country, and you can go to businesstalkradio.net to find the station closest to you or to listen on the Internet or to access podcasts of the show.
Attention investors, respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
You love your car, and so does CarChex. We're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and have been helping people avoid spending a fortune in costly car repair bills for almost 20 years. For about $2.50 a day, you get the peace of mind in knowing that your expensive repair bills may be covered by a vehicle protection plan. Think about if your air conditioner or the transmission goes out. That could cost you a few $1,000s, or you can get protected with CarChex and pay only a standard deductible. For about $2.50 a day, you can make sure you don't get stuck with the bill for covered repairs. Keep your car in tip-top shape. For a completely free quote, call CarChex now at 800-958-5207, 800-958-5207. That's 800-958-5207. Or visit GetProtected.com. That's GetProtected.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books, and unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately.
Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Biz Talk Radio.
All right, we're back talking with one of the architects of the Reagan Revolution budget, David Stockman, who's also the author of A Radical Manifesto on the Potential Sundown in America. This segment, we're going to look at the age of bubble finance. And a stat that really struck me out of your book was, I think over the period of about 1999 to 2007, our GDP increased $4 trillion, and that was funded by an increase of total credit debt, in other words, of over $20 billion. In other words, it took $5 of debt for every dollar of growth. What's the impact of that?
Well, I think that's just a measure of the phony economy, of the artificial growth and prosperity that we had in the final stages of the Greenspan bubble that then, you know, was extended for a couple more years through 2008. Obviously, the numbers are pretty startling. At the turn of the century, as we were just reaching the top of the dot-com bubble, and we'd already had massive debt growth before that, we had about $25 trillion of public and private debt. That's household, business, government, and financial institutions. By the time we reached the peak in 2008, it was close to $52 trillion, so that's over a $25 trillion growth. But during that same period, the nominal GDP rose only $4 or $5 trillion. So the point I'm getting at is near the end of this bubble process, this, you know, rapid expansion of the Fed's balance sheet and this old Greenspan wealth effects notion of running the central bank, we were having to borrow $5 to get another dollar of GDP expansion. And historically, the ratio was about 1.5 to 1. You borrowed $1.50 for a dollar of growth. That was true in 1980 when the whole Reagan era began, and it had been true for 100 years previously. And as a result of that, of the change after 1980, essentially we were undertaking the kind of a rolling leverage buyout, or what I call a leverage recap of the American economy. We just kept... because it was fueled and induced by the interest policies of the Fed, encouraging the whole system to borrow more money in order to inch the economy forward. But obviously, you reach a certain point where the system becomes saturated with debt. I think that happened in 2008. We now have $56 trillion of debt. It hasn't slowed down, despite what they say about deleveraging. The debt ratio now is 3.6 times debt to national income versus the historic rate of 1.6 times. And the whole economy, one way or another, is struggling with too much debt, which means we're going to have a long slog in a kind of debt deflation, in a downward adjustment of all of this enormous debt that was created during what I call the bubble phase or the party phase. Up to 2008.
The impact of the 1987 market crash and then the long-term capital management bailout of a firm right here in Greenwich, this led to the age of the Greenspan put, and how damaging has that been?
Well, I think it's very damaging because, first of all, in 1987, when Greenspan panicked after the so-called Black Monday and the crash of the stock market, which was basically artificially inflated then by something, called portfolio insurance, which was a new gimmick that had been created and sold widely in the financial markets. So the crash was just a healthy correction of a equity market bubble that had gotten out of control. But Greenspan was new on the job. He panicked, and they just flooded the financial market with money and reflated the stock market bubble within a year or two, and gave the lesson to the market that the Fed was now being run by people who wouldn't tolerate a two-way market. And this is important to understand, because historically, the central bank did not care about where the stock market index was, or the S&P 500 or the Dow. It wasn't their business to, prop it up when it was high, or to bail it out when it was low. That was supposedly the free market and price discovery with respect to the thousands of individual equities that trade on a healthy equity market. But in 1987, we crossed the Rubicon when the market began to realize that the Federal Reserve now was intently focused on the stock market, on the pace of increase in equity prices, and on the big indices. And therefore, speculators figured out that they could take on more leverage, they could take on more risk than would be true in a two-way market, or what I call an at-risk market that can go up or down. And so therefore, the speculative juices were unleashed. And as we went through the 90s, it turned from healthy speculation into a mania, as we recall, by the end of the decade when the dot-com craze got to its peak. But it wasn't just the dot-com craze. It was the whole market. I demonstrate in the book from the 1987 Greenspan error until to the 2000 peak. The stock market went up on average, this is the S&P 500, five times, fivefold in 13 years. That's not natural. That's not even remotely sustainable. And so clearly bubble finance was underway. Then we got to a slight correction in August 1998 when the Russian default occurred. And long-term capital, one of the worst, most leveraged, reckless speculators in the marketplace at that time, suddenly had a total meltdown because it was levered at the end there, according to some accounts, 100-1, and was using a form of portfolio insurance, which was essentially shorting the Treasury, that blew up right in its face. Now, at that point, instead of letting the market work its will and not only take down long-term capital, which they did allow the owners, to lose their money, but they should have allowed the thing to unwind naturally, because it never would have happened unless all the big Wall Street firms had not been loaning massive amounts of money to long-term capital through one device or another. There are prime brokerages, through various option trades, through margin debt, and many other forms. And when Greenspan panicked and gathered all the banks together down at the Fed building in New York, it basically was another signal to the market that large declines and corrections in the stock market won't be allowed. And so with the Greenspan then cut the interest rate, I think in a panicked way several times in the fall of 1998. It wasn't necessary. The GDP was growing at 7%. So, I mean, you had a booming economy. There was no reason under traditional standards to panic and cut the discount rate and the federal funds rate. But that's what they did, and therefore the market again took the right lesson that there's a put in place. The central bank is essentially putting the safety net under the stock market and under the stock price index. And that unleashed the final phase of the bubble until you got to the spring of 2000. The technology stocks, the dot-com stocks, and just plain old big cap stocks We're being priced at 40, 50, 100 times earnings, totally absurd levels. And the thing finally busted because even the Fed couldn't defy gravity permanently. Now, that was a crucial turning point. It should have been a massive wake-up call to Greenspan that the whole policy that he was pursuing was dramatically off course, fundamentally unstable and not workable, and needed a huge rethink and correction. But the opposite happened. He panicked again, and starting on Christmas Eve 2000, cut interest rates every month until the spring of 2003, and took the interest rate down from 6.5% to 1%, and reflated the whole process once again, and gave the final lesson to Wall Street that get out there, speculate, lever up, because the Fed has got your back and will not allow anything to correct.
And you are listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell on the Business Talk Radio Network, coming to you from our flagship station, JL Radio, WYBC, and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich, featuring interviews with leading figures from the business world and the worlds of politics and sports. You can follow us on Twitter at Campbell Biz Talk, Campbell B-I-Z Talk, and podcasts available at businesstalkradio.net, Yale Radio, WYBC.com, and in iTunes you can search Business Talk with Jim Campbell. We're talking with David Stockman, the former Reagan budget director.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist, and you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake, and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-563-0393. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-563-0393. 800-563-0393. That's 800-563-0393.
Biz Talk Radio.
Okay, this is our final segment of the national show, and we're talking again with David Stockman about how the Fed created a bubble economy, protected Wall Street at the expense of Main Street. Let's finish up with ending corruption of capitalism before it's too late. And my first question to you is, how long do we have? When do we know when the punch bowl finally has to be removed? You have this term peak debt. I don't know how we know when we're there. Japan is at 250% of GDP. What is peak debt? How do we know we're there?
Peak debt is kind of a subjective metaphorical term, but it means that you're probably at the point where for the economy as a whole, public and private, you can't push the leverage ratio much higher. And so therefore, we don't compare just government sector debt to national income. We add it all up, household debt, business debt, government and financial, because all of it has to be serviced one way or another, and when the debt load gets too high, it fundamentally distorts and cuts into normal economic behavior. So we're at 3.6 times, 350% on the total level of debt. We've been there since 2008. The household sector has, on average, over the 4 or 5 years, not increased its leverage, actually decreased a tiny bit. Business is basically held constant. Everybody thinks business is deleveraged. It's not true. Corporate and non-corporate business in America has about $12 trillion of debt, and that's up $1.5 trillion since the fall of 2007. And the government debt has increased massively as a result of what we talked about before, the huge Obama stimulus and the TARP and all the rest of it. So I think we're now at a point where the economy can't take on much more debt. It's pretty obvious. And therefore, it grinds away, inching forward 1%, 2%, or 0% some quarters. And we're never going to have the kind of booms that we had in the 30 years prior to 2008, because those were artificial. On the margin, that was income plus borrowing causing GDP to rise as a result of increasing debt and leverage, but not as a result of productivity and increased production. So So when I use that term, it's just no one knows the scientific answer. We've never been here before. Most of the world is at that level of total debt or beyond. Many of the European countries are at 400 or 500%, and they're struggling. France today is a great example, 400% or more debt to GDP for the whole system. Japan is up there as well when you take the private sector and the public sector together. So I think, basically, over the last 30 or 40 years, all of the balance sheet headroom that the, the developed economies, the advanced industrial economies had available has been used up. They're now all struggling with debt burdens on public and private sectors, and growth is going to be low, and it's unfortunate that we can't recognize that reality and try to cope with it and live with it and adjust to it. But instead, they want to go back to the policies that got us here with more monetary stimulus, more fiscal stimulus, on the erroneous notion that they can make the economy boom again through incremental borrowing, as was the case in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I think it's pretty evident that that can't happen. There's a lot of tests going on all over the world. Look at the UK. Look at Europe as a whole. Look at the Japanese economy for the last 20 years after it reached its peak debt in 1990. Keynesian policy, whether it's deficit stimulus or money printing at the central bank, simply causes untoward dislocations and speculation in financial markets. It does not cause the real economy to expand at a more rapid rate.
All right, let me ask you this now. Let's get to these radical solutions you have on the on the fiscal side. You're talking about requiring each two-year Congress to balance the budget. You talk about abolishing social insurance, diminution of the warfare state, abolishing incumbency. Give us an overview of these and how realistic do you think they are?
Okay, I don't think it's realistic, but it is a measure of how far we've drifted from a sustainable circumstance and, in a sense, how close we are to the edge. Therefore, if we expect to reclaim any kind of democratic governance, then you're going to have to liberate our Washington, our political system, from domination by the PACs, the massive billions that are raised in campaign money, and the special interests that channel it, into favorable legislative and executive decisions. And the only way to do that really is through changing the rules of the game. And I suggested, I realize this takes a constitutional amendment, and therefore it's not likely, but it's time to get in the modern world, the 21st century, extend the terms of congressmen, senators, and the president to 6 years, and prohibit them from running for reelection. Take the oath of office. They never have to spend a waking hour thinking about how to get reelected, how to raise money, how to placate, all the special interest groups and K Street lobbies. And only if we did something that radical do I think there's any chance of liberating the system from the dominance of crony capitalism and special interest group money. So that is one example of the radical changes we need. Secondly, we need to fundamentally rethink our foreign policy. We've been fired as the policeman of the world. None of these huge occupation and intervention and occupation efforts have worked in Iraq or Afghanistan in many cases before. And so we should be dramatically reducing our national security apparatus, our war machine, as I call it, and recognize we could probably cut it by a couple hundred billion dollars and still provide for the legitimate, security needs of the United States. We don't have industrial enemies left in the world, and therefore we don't need this massive war machine, including 11 carrier battle groups and all of the land forces we have and so forth. That's another radical idea that won't happen because the Pentagon is now viewed as a jobs machine.
All right, David's brilliant new book, The Great Deformation, The Corruption of Capitalism in America, published by Public Affairs. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell on the Business Talk Radio Network, sending out a podcast of today's show and next week's email blast. Podcasts available right after we get off the air at businesstalkradio.net, Yale Radio, WYBC, and at iTunes on search Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Follow us on Twitter at Campbell Biz Talk. Thanks again to David Stockman. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next Sunday.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.